Hello and welcome to another podcast here with Dan Hegerich. You're listening to Do the Cure. It's a metaphor, it's an analogy, it's a statement that what if the cure already exists and that you have to be willing to do the cure. And to do the cure, you need to learn the cure for whatever ails you. We do know that prevention of illness is the real cure, right? So why aren't we doing more preventative things in our life to actually prevent illness from taking hold in our own particular physical body and in our mind? Well, anyway, this podcast, we don't know where it's going to go. I know that bothers some of you, but the unknown is the portal to full aliveness. When you're in the unknown, you are fresh. Think of a baby when they're born. They're completely in the unknown. And then we start to fill that unknown with stuff, with noise, with toys, with all kinds of gadgets, anything to take them out of their unknown state. But here we are. And we're going to journey into what I termed life bankruptcy. Back in 1999, to the year 1999 and 2000, I experienced life bankruptcy. I was in a psychiatric ward. I had loss of identity. So I lost my mind. I lost my personal identity on who I am and what I am and what am I here to do in this world. And I lost intimacy with connection with other people and myself, for that matter, for the most part. But I checked into the psychiatric ward in Beth Israel Hospital back in 2000. And I remember going in there on my own accord and saying, I'm lost, I'm confused, I'm in a state of chaos, I've had a lot of hard battles to fight, and I know that I need to learn how to self-love myself back to health and well-being. I had to learn how to love myself back to well-being. And they laughed. They didn't think that was appropriate, and they actually thought that was my mental illness talking. So all I needed really was, in their view, of course, was my medication to be adjusted and refined. Well, self-love is not something they teach and offer as a product or service. So, of course, it was very threatening to them. And the only way that they could respond or react to my statement, I need to learn to self-love myself, was a threat to their own identity. Because they offer drugs and they offer things that were not in alignment with me. Anyway, when I think about that now, most people are only concerned about health, wealth, and love in relationship. What do I mean? That means people are really concerned about their health. And they are also concerned about their wealth. And in the general sense, they're worried, do I have resources for living? Do I have, rent and the basic needs for survival? Rent, shelter, food. What else would be there? Clothing. And of course, modern life has us needing quite a few more things. Cars, car insurance, gasoline for the car, or electricity for the car, etc. Cell phones, all kinds of things that we apparently need. But in the end, I wanted to share that everybody's concerned about health, wealth, and their relationships. Are they loving? Are they joyous? Are they free? Are they trusting? Are they intimate? Are they deep and meaningful? I have a book here called Intellectual Foreplay, and I have a quote from there. When we take responsibility for raising our own self-esteem and being happy with who we are, we contribute greatly to the quality of our relationships. It's important because self-love is raising self-esteem. Our relationship with ourselves determines whether we will live happily ever after well more than our relationship with others do. Therefore, the most important relationship is that of one with our own self. And that's when I went into that psychiatric ward, was to regain a sense of self. And it became real, it really was very personal when I was in that psychiatric ward on how devastated I was internally on one side of the coin about the psychiatric counselors or psychiatric doctors that were taking me in. I was really, really at odds with it. But it sparked something in me that I had to let go of the medical model. I had to let go of medicine, and I had to really anchor in on just that, is I had to raise my self-esteem. I didn't have to go outside of myself so much. And what transpired in that psychiatric ward for 7 days was my cancer came back for the sixth time. That's why I said I lost health, wealth, and loving relationships. But in the paradoxical sense, I gained it. I gained it first in perspective or perception and thought. And then I made my life about health, wealth, and loving relationships. How to restore, essentially, life bankruptcy into life abundancy. Living life with the feeling of abundance. And that comes in the form of what all we're concerned about. Am I healthy? Am I wealthy enough to carry out the way I want to live my life with no judgment? And do I have loving relationships? Or am I in relationships that are loving with myself as the primary and with others? So what do we talk about? Health. Health is of the body. Do I have vitality? How do I obtain vitality? What do I do for my vitality? And that comes down to nutrition and movement. And nowadays, detoxification and dialogue. All of these are actually applied to each area of those that are discussed. In your health, you need to have nutrition, movement, detoxification, and a dialogue with your own body. What is your relationship with your own body and your current fitness level? It's not important about how fit you are. It's the dialogue you're having about how fit you are, how you might be comparing yourself to others and suffering on behalf of nobody but yourself. Society, culture, even your community, your family, and friends, they all conditioned you to, or upheld or validated, a program of what health is. And so we all have our images in our head about what that means. Essentially, am I healthy in my body? Are my internal organs healthy? Is my brain healthy? Are my nervous system healthy? Can I function properly? Can I lift things? Can I move my body in a fluid way, in a strong way? So in the body, nutrition and movement are very key elements on that journey. And I had someone ask today, what is the best diet someone can be on? There isn't. Just, you have to learn to get rid of the word diet. First, before you do that, let's understand what diet is. Diet is everything that you put into your body. It's everything that you put on your body. It's everything you put in your body in, like a body of water or your town water that you shower in or bathe in. It's your home environment. What are you in? Are you in a moldy environment? Is it chaotic? Is it a mess? Is it full of stuff? And that's an extension of what's going on inside you as well. How's your car? How is it running? How is the atmosphere of it? How's the environment of it? How's the environment of your work? Is it healthy? Is it psychologically healthy? So diet is everything that you put into your eyes, your ears, your nose, your mouth, and everything you put on your skin, because your skin absorbs 60 to 80% of what you put on it. Therefore, it would be adult wisdom, if you can't eat it, you don't put it on your skin. That's probably worth repeating. If you can't eat it, it's worthy of not putting on your skin. There are plenty of other things that you can actually eat and put on your skin. What's one thing that comes to my mind? Coconut oil. Perfectly fine to put on your skin. So diet is everything you put into your eyes, ears, nose, mouth, and on your skin. What are you watching? What are you watching? What are you listening to? What are you breathing? How are you breathing? So I want you to actually think about that. Because how long have you been doing it? Remember, that's your daily diet, about what you put into your eyes, ears, nose, mouth, and on your skin. And my question is, I'm being distracted because I have this program. Sorry, folks, I'm just going to break free for here for a second. I have this program on that I tried to cancel, and I can't cancel it. I don't know why, but it just won't let me. There it is. Let's see if this will work. You hear that noise? So that's the program, and it actually comes on like every 10 minutes. And I had to get rid of that because it was distracting me, and it may have distracted you as well. Anyway, we're back here talking about health, wealth, and loving relationships, life bankruptcy to life abundance. And we want to talk about health, and health is of the body. And we also were online with diet, where everybody, a lot of people ask, what's the best diet to be on? And you have to understand that diet is everything you put into your eyes, ears, nose, mouth, and on your skin. It's everything you put your body in. And what you've been doing your entire life is called your life diet. So if you are suffering in physical ailments, take a look at your life diet. What have you been eating? What have you been drinking? What have you been breathing into your nose? Right? What have you been lathering on your skin? You know, have you been protecting your eyes with sunglasses? Right? You need the sun to hit your eyes, indirectly anyway. It feeds the brain directly. So the next part of this equation was, you need nutrition and movement to get your health back. That's the basics. And then you need to learn that that nutrition and movement must also create a sense of detoxification, rebuilding, and rejuvenating the body. And then it starts to open up a dialogue that you have with your body. What is your relationship with your body? And as I mentioned earlier, that you want to consider self-love as the first place you start with anything you want to improve your life. If you want to improve your life, you got to think about improving self-love. And self-love is having the discipline to take on the voluntary acts and habits, or establish that voluntary habits that leads you to become who you want to become in the world. If you want to be healthier than you are, than you were yesterday, if you want to be healthier today than you were yesterday, then you must have a certain amount of self-love to that part of you that wants to be healthier. And that will show up in the actions that you take and the choices you make. These suggestions and principal philosophies, I don't know, guidelines they apply to building wealth. Now, people associate this whole notion that money is wealth. Money is a representation of wealth, but it isn't wealth. Wealth is found in your own imagination. It's in your imagination, because everything in this planet was created from someone's idea, which was first born in the imagination. So your imagination is is the vault, I should say, of your wealth. And those who can turn that imagination into a product or service that benefits the most people becomes, I guess, financially wealthy, because they actually exchange that idea they transmute that idea into a product or service, and then it can enhance the quality of someone's life, actually or perceivably. And then they get something in return for that. So your wealth is in your imagination. And people who become ill or sick or really fight in survival mode, they really only can use their imagination for survival. And it doesn't matter how much money one has, if they're in survival mode, they're most likely going to be just as poor as someone that has no money. Like, a wealthy person can be incredibly internally poor because they're in survival mode and they're always defensive. And their health shows it. You know, the poor people don't always have health issues. Very wealthy and celebrity-type people have health issues, not just physical health issues. They have just as much mental and emotional, I guess, illness, for a lack of better words, than other people. You know, they're just as crazy as everyone else. So wealth is not about how much you have. It might be how much you're willing to give what you have. And loss of wealth can also mean you have a loss of identity. That's painful when you don't know, like, what your position in life is, what your purpose in life is, and what has meaning to you. You've lost your sense of self. That's why self-love is so vital. What are your core values? What do you stand for? What do you enjoy? What are the things that are really meaningful to you? And you lose sight of that. You lose touch or connection to that. And then, of course, we have the ultimate, which is self-love. And when you lose a sense of self-love, it really means that you're actually now in relationship with your impoverished self-esteem. And self-love is the process of raising raising your self-esteem, because it is your responsibility only to raise your self-esteem. No one can tell you how beautiful you are over and over and over and over again if you have so much self-hatred and self-denial or self-abuse about you not being beautiful. If you can't feel it and it doesn't come from you, no one outside you can build that up. And if they do, it's only for short term or for some sort of hidden agenda or anything else you might be able to add to it. When you are whole and complete alone with yourself as you are, you tend to have more to offer another in the creation of a healthy relationship. That was a quote from Eve Eschner and Stephen Hogan in their book Intellectual Foreplay. I had to read that several times, by the way, because it was really challenging to get back to what I stood for, what was important to me, and who am I in personality and character, and how do I navigate back to this thing called self-love and self-esteem and intrinsic happiness, which is joy. the joy for being alive. And all because I was experiencing life bankruptcy. You know, it's funny how our adversity brings out many of our blessings and gifts to help others navigate their current pain and suffering. So life bankruptcy to life abundancy means reconnecting to your health, reconnecting to your wealth, and reconnecting to your love for life itself. That might be really difficult for somebody here listening, but I assure you, this is one of the ways that I had to navigate into that holistic approach to wellness in body, mind, and spirit. Health is of the body. Wealth is in your mind or imagination, particularly the imagination. And of course, spirit is love, and self-love is the only absolute love. Almost every other love that you have has some kind of judgment of good or bad, right or wrong. But with self-love, I think it was Krishnamurti. I have a quote here from Krishnamurti. The highest form of human intelligence is to observe yourself without judgment. That's a high level of self-esteem. It's a high level of self-love, and it's a high level of self-knowledge or self-knowing or knowing yourself. So since health is of the body, and it's about how fit you are, it's about how healthy your internal organs are, it's how healthy your internal glands are, and the systems of the body. How well are they running? Those are the digestive system, the circulatory system, your respiratory system, and your generative system. Your generative system is essentially the nervous system and hormonal system. They're a married couple together because one begets the other. And then healing is of the mind and your love, or healing your mind towards love for self and love for others. And in that, you create an amazing sense of joy, abundance, and wealth. Healing is of the body. Health is of the body. Healing is of your mind towards love. So I came up with this thing that, for me anyway, this is just principles for me to navigate, my own framework for navigating the craziness of human experience, is health is the foundation to my life, and love is the purpose that I get up for. And one expression of that love is to love and tender and take care of my body. People take care of their automobiles better than they take care of their own vehicle that they ride around in, that their spiritual essence, their own awareness, and their own experience of life is inside their body. But they don't take care of it. They don't either know how. Well, they know how, but they just don't do it. They just take it for granted, right? We take life for granted until we lose our sense of life. I don't want that to happen to you, for sure. But if it does, I'm okay with that too. That's just a necessary part of your own development, your own growth and development into recognizing what is important to you. And then creating, I guess, daily habits of those things that are as important to you. No judgment here, just an observation that most people know what they need to do to take care of themselves and be well, but they don't do it. So there's something else there, isn't there? If you think about it, there's something else there. If you know what you need to do for your well-being, but you don't do it, what is that entity? What is that program that's running and tripping you up? That's my work as a life mentor, is to help you navigate into defragmenting those thoughts and feelings. You can't avoid your feelings. You're going to have to actually be able to move into feelings without judgment. so you can actually feel your feelings, so that you can be allowed to feel your feelings and to take personal responsibility for everything that you're feeling as well. That's life skill training. So body, mind, and spirit, health, wealth, and loving relationship with life and with your own true self. If you found this information or this podcast tonight inspiring, informative in some way, then hopefully it will create some self-motivation for you to start taking your life back. Nobody stole it from you necessarily. I know there's complications around the globe and we can see that, but I'm talking directly to you and what your life, what is happening in your life right now, and how can we navigate you back into not allowing the way the world is as it is right now to take you away from acting on how you want the world to be or become, and how you want to be and become in this world. So if you like this this talk and this dialogue that we've had together for a very short period of time, about 30 minutes, you know, please share it with someone that you love. And also do comment or like the podcast. That helps more people get to know it. This is Dan Hegerich. To learn more about me, you can go to my website at danhegerich.com, D-A-N Hegerich, H-E-G-E-R-I-C-H.com. Until we meet, or until we listen to each other again, keep your body tuned up and your soul tuned in. This is Dan. Take care.